Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
So romantic relationships, friendships, and even work connections all can be impacted by personality disorders. From fear of abandonment to emotional outbursts or mistrust, these challenges can make closeness feel unsafe. But understanding is the first step toward healing and connection. And so that's what we're trying to get in this conversation with Yolanda Rootman, speaking about personality disorders and how they affect relationships. Yolanda, good morning and welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Bongo. Always lovely to be with you guys.
All right. So how do these personality disorders typically influence attachment and trust in relationships?
So to understand that question in its totality, we have to revisit theories of how do personality disorders develop. Okay. And one of the ways that is theoretically personalities disorders develop mm-hmm. is when there is an emotional predisposition. So it's a person that has a genetic predisposition to emotionality. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of vulnerability to emotionality. And then having that person and emotionality that has that vulnerability be met with an environment that's invalidating.
Okay.
So I'm facing the world with this fear of, with this intensity of emotions, and then that not being recognized or validated in the relationships that I grew up in. So very often these individuals do not feel safe. Mm-hmm. And because personality disorders often develop from these early relational wounds, it makes it extremely difficult for these individuals to feel safe, secure, and trusting in their relationships.
Okay.
So this can show up, as fear of abandonment. It can be difficult with intimacy or emotional detachment, just because they've learned that emotions and relationships are not safe for me. Mm. It is an ingrained belief system that has developed. And therefore, oh, my emotions aren't safe. I'm not safe when I feel emotions, and I'm not safe in my relationships. So for example, someone might cling too tight to this individual, make them their world. You are my everything. Or swing to the opposite extreme where they push other people away. Because if I push you away, I end this relationship, then I protect myself. I hurt you before you... Yes, exactly. I'm going to hurt you before you hurt me. Mm. So trust becomes a very fragile process for these individuals. But they can build trust. It just builds slowly over time. But that trust can also be easily broken because of their past experiences. Mm. And they've taught themselves and have this belief that relationships can't be safe. Relationships are unpredictable, they are unsafe, and therefore I have to protect myself. And these are one of the corner elements of personality disorders, and therefore they struggle extremely with relationships if there's not strong boundaries and mutual understanding.
Right. So I would imagine that, you know, the normal ups and downs of relationships where one person hurts another person, we do this all the time, we apologize, we forgive each other, we move on. I suppose that would make it more difficult for someone who has a personality disorder, who has trust issues and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. It's almost like that normal relationship interaction is magnified. Right. So where you and I might have a conflict with someone, it's just a conflict. You have that attachment and that security. So you and your husband might have had a fight.
Yeah.
You know he's going to be home later. You might be angry with each other, but he's going to be there.
Yeah.
For these individuals, they're like, their mind is telling them, this is the end of the relationship. It's over. It's not going to work. This is now an unsafe place for me. And that's where a lot of their motivation comes from.
Sure. So it could go, I'm assuming again that this, so it could go either way, the attachment, because you did say that either they hold on so tightly. So in such a situation where there's some kind of conflict, they will bend over backwards to make sure the other person is happy, even to their own detriment, or they will go
yes.
to the other extreme to just cut it off where it was something that could have been resolved.
Exactly. So they either have this, they would overstep their own boundaries. That's the person that will go broke or to give you money because you're the friend, you need it. They'll overstep their own emotional boundaries and drain themselves to the point of burnout, or they'll just be callous and malice and kind of just cut you off. They find it very difficult to find that balance in relationships.
And now, what role does communication or the lack of it play in conflict or misunderstanding, particularly with people who have personality disorders?
Well, I think adding on to the conversation is, like, you know, communication is kind of the heart of any relationship, the cornerstone. But when someone is struggling with these emotion regulations or distorted thinking, which they have, it can lead to misinterpretations, reactive behaviors, or withdrawal. So their poor communication often escalates conflict, while open, clear, and validating communication helps reduce these misunderstandings. Their emotions and that fear of abandonment is kind of just not allowing them to do that. So their communication patterns is also as fearful and chaotic in terms of that. And very often they don't have the skill or the emotive language to tell the people in their lives, but hey, I'm actually feeling this intense fear. I'm feeling this fear of rejection. They don't know how to communicate that. So their communication also almost mirrors this chaos that's going on inside of them when it comes to attachment, relationships, and trust.
Mm-hmm. Do navigate those ups and downs.
And it's not just...
Sorry, continue.
Yeah, so I just wanted to add that it's not just about what is said, but it's also how it's said. And right. Very often within that communication, what they hear is not what's happening in that conversation, because then this fight or flight, oh, I'm being abandoned, oh, I'm being rejected. Yes. And even the slightest thing, like, oh, I think I just need a break. For the normal ear, it would be, okay, you know, we need to just take a moment, life, you want to end this life with me, you want to end this relationship. So it's really that intense response to communicate.
So there's that, it's like there's an internal filter that magnifies everything.
That is such a perfect way of putting it. It's exactly that. It's this filter that information is going through that's just giving them a message that is not necessarily true in their reality.
And so with that, then, how do couples navigate those ups and downs without burning out? I can imagine that it could be exhausting.
It is. It is hard. It's one of those things where, you know, people with personality disorders have to work harder at it, I guess, than the average Joe. Yeah. So resilience in relationships come from realistic expectations. So that's number one, being realistic in what we expect of one another. Mm-hmm. Then healthy boundaries, a must. And shared responsibility, like I'm willing to take responsibility, I'm willing to take accountability and work through it. So couples can prevent burnout by pacing emotional intensity, participating in self-care individually, and then taking breaks when needed. Mm-hmm. Now, when I say this, I'm not saying taking breaks and just, oh, okay, we need to be on a break in a relationship. Okay. No, we don't have to be apart. I think breaks is, and it's that saying where people say, you know, don't go to bed angry. It almost has a negative connotation, because if you tell someone don't go to bed angry, you're actually saying let's stay up and sort it out. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you just need that break. Sometimes you need to, like, right now, I've reached the end of my tether. Right now, emotionally, I don't have the capacity. Mm-hmm. So for us to sit here another 3-4 hours hashing this out is not going to make me feel safer. It's not going to give a solution. So it's okay to say, right now we're at this point, I'm not leaving, reassure that person, this can be resolved, but let's just take a moment for each other and let's just, you go relax somewhere, me take a moment, and we can revisit this topic a little bit later. So both can kind of in that moment also build safety while navigating these difficult obstacles that is a relationship. It also helps to stay curious about each other's experiences instead of just becoming reactive. So instead of just reacting to what this person has said, maybe, why did you say it? Mm. Why did you phrase it in that way? Mm-hmm. And this already gives you space to communicate. And then checking in regularly and showing appreciation and working in a team, especially during the hard times, can protect a relationship in this emotional fatigue stages.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then at what point would it be beneficial for a relationship to seek outside help or counseling?
So it's time to seek help when the same conflict keeps on repeating itself. The same communication patterns break down, or the same emotions keep on coming to the surface, and safety is compromised. So you don't feel safe in that relationship, and you kind of just feel like you're spinning. It's the same conversation. It's the same conflict over and over, which is always an indication that we do not currently have the skill to move past this block. Mm-hmm. We just kind of need a little bit more support. And always when there's any type of breakdown, it's a flag. So counseling can be especially helpful when there's a sense of constantly walking on eggshells, when trust feels like it's eroding, or where one or both partners feel stuck. And therapy doesn't mean failure.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's a big stigma that's out there that the minute I ask for help, it's because I can't do it, or I failed in something.
So therapy is like the last resort.
Yeah, and I feel like it shouldn't be, because if you are home with a toothache or with a flu, no one looks at you funny when you go to the dentist or go to the GP to support you in those instances. And you know, relationship and emotional struggle shouldn't be any different. So it's not a sign of failure, it's a sign of commitment to your growth and healing. And I think if people see it like that, it can also bring and open up a whole new world of support for them.
For sure. And then what red flags, what growth signs can loved ones look out for over time?
Okay, so for me, red flags include emotional manipulation, persistent blame, and lack of accountability. We are human. We make mistakes. Sometimes we are driven internally and motivated by things that we don't always understand. You know, our anxiety, our hurts, our depression, they make us make decisions that we're not always proud of. They come from a space of survival and not always of a place of malice. But when you're unable to take accountability, to say, hey, I made this mistake, I made this choice, I'm really sorry about it, I'm willing to work on it, then that's one of a red flag for me. When there's fear-based dynamics, so everything is based on fear and control, and then you see this withdrawal, it's just blaming and then moving away, that's a big red flag to me as well. But I don't want to end it off with just focusing on the red flags and the bad. So I also want to encourage people to look out for the growth flags, the green flags, as we put them. So growth signs can look like an increased self-awareness. Hey, I know I reacted. I know I acted in this way. I'm sorry. A willingness to apologize and repair. Consistency in your behavior. Constantly showing up. So yes, I've made an appointment with my psychologist once a month or once every 2 weeks, and I keep on showing up. I keep on doing the work, and an openness to feedback. And this progress isn't always linear. It's ups and downs. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But when there's movement towards a healthier pattern and mutual respect, it's always a good sign for growth in a relationship. And that's what we strive for. And that's what we should also look out for. Not just the bad, but what are the things that we constantly put into our relationships to promote a healthy relationship?
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Yolanda, for coming through. Any final words, any final thoughts?
Final words are always, let's remember that therapy is not a failure. Yeah. It's just another tool in your toolbox to help you survive this difficult thing we called life.
Love it. Thank you so much, Yolanda, for coming through. Let's chat again on Wednesday.
Awesome. Have a lovely day, guys. Bye.
All right.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.